I read alone. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the women who were guests at the festival. Purpur by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rohini, another wife of Vasudevas, was also kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj with her son Baladev. Because her husband was imprisoned by Kamsa, she was not very happy. But on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami, Nandutsava, when Nanda Maharaj gave dresses and ornaments to others, he also gave gorgeous garments and ornaments to Rohini so that she could take part in the festival. Thus, she also was busy receiving the women who were guests. Because of her good fortune in being able to raise Krishna and Balaram together, she is described as Mahabhaga, or greatly fortunate. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Omagyanati mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri urave namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Japataka Swamiti Namine Namam Vishnu Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sundyavari Paschatya Deshatarine. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the women who were guests at the festival. Hare Krishna, thank you everyone for the honor to be here. This is a very important place, as you know better than me. This is one of Prabhupada's forts of preaching, particularly in the West. There's so many pastimes in this holy place, a place of Prabhupada's Lilas. One of our favorite places should be. So here in this Dham of ISKCON, the Bhaktivedanta Manor, we're performing this act of glorifying Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. As you know, this is one of the main processes that Srila Prabhupada established in his preaching. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. In his mission of establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement around the world, everywhere he went, even though sometimes he was very sick, he will want to go to Bhagavatam class. I remember visiting Hyderabad many years back, and there is the temple room, and there is a balcony where Prabhupada room is. And so you read in the Lilamrita how, although he was very sick at that time, he was asked to be taken to the balcony so that he could listen to Bhagavatam. So the fact that we are performing this service of getting together and reading Srimad Bhagavatam is in fact very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. So we should take advantage of this literature. We should take advantage of the author of this literature. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita there are two kinds of Bhagavat. Ekha Bhagavatavada, Bhagavata Shastra, the great book known as Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are plenty of glories of the Bhagavatam, the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam itself, and many other Puranas glorify the benefit of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. But even more important than the Bhagavatam is the Bhagavat devotee, the one who walks and the one who talks to us and the one who corrects us in our attempt to apply Srimad Bhagavatam in our life. So here in this description, Krishna has appeared. And when is Janmashtami, 25th here. It's 25th of August, right? I know in Mayapur it's 25th. So Krishna is going to appear, right? So all this will be manifesting again. And these pastimes are eternal. And particularly the Janmashtami celebrated here in Bhaktivedanta Manor is very, very famous. I heard many stories of devotees who have been here, and I don't know how many. I heard 80,000. I heard up to 100,000 people come. I don't know exactly, but I imagine a lot of people coming through the Bhaktivedanta Manor doors and seeing the Lord and the devotees glorifying Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, on that day. So this is a great occasion. And Srila Prabhupada told Vishnuyan Swami that, in fact, I was just thinking while Prabhu was leading the kirtan, that the more we chant, the happier we become. Right? Was that your experience, or was it only me? I don't know. Right? The longer the kirtan went on, the happier. I don't know why. I don't know how. You know, something was happening, and I could see your faces. Everyone was like lightening up and jumping and dancing and like that. So somehow, this effect of Hare Krishna takes place. Whether we understand it or we don't, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of the Maha Mantra, you don't have to understand the language of this mantra, right? That's what he says, right? So, Srila Prabhupada bring Krishna to us. He offers in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we're in the 10th canto. So he offers in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that those who listen attentively to Srimad Bhagavatam can see Krishna face to face. That's what he says. Attentively, you can see Krishna face to face. So, do we believe when we hear these things, when we read these things from Srila Prabhupada, do we believe that we can see Krishna face to face? Right? So if I ask you, have you seen Krishna? Right? I know that out of humility, many of you would say, no, I'm so fallen and all this. But Prabhupada had delivered his promise. That's the point. Prabhupada said you can see Krishna face to face. So Krishna is here. One time Prabhupada was asked, what is faith? And he said, faith is to understand that here is Radha and Krishna. He said that. So, the idea of this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that a big festival is taking place. Right? Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, they are celebrating that Krishna has appeared. And an interesting point in how this text begins is Rohini Cha Mahabhaga. Bhaga means fortune, fortunate. Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. Srila Prabhupada concludes this purport. So in this festival of Krishna consciousness, we all are recipients of this great fortune. You know, so we can say that all the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are also Mahabhaga. Why? Because they have received Krishna. They have received Krishna from Srila Prabhupada. So, this is the beginning of spiritual life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma that out of piety, great piety, agyata sukriti, achieved by somebody, right? The individual, the jiva, has this attitude of approaching a Vaishnava. Have you had that experience? I saw now, what is it, 3 Rathayatras here by the grace of Prabhupada. And, you know, one thing that I enjoy the most, apart from everything else, the chanting, the titis, the cards, and the prasadam, and the preaching. But one thing that I enjoy the most is to see how many people come to Ratha Yatra out of nowhere. You can tell these people, or at least in this lifetime, they seem to not have any contact with Krishna consciousness. But from nowhere, they come and they taking photos and they are dancing and they are enjoying so much the festival. And truly, who was saying this? Jnananda Maharaj, I think, was saying in one of the Ratha Yatra lectures that this is a festival of reunion. So it's like Krishna is bringing people together. Krishna is bringing people back to Him, back to Godhead. So this is the purpose of this process. It's a festival every day. So when we chant Hare Krishna, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains, we need to know also, all the Prabhupada says that there's no need to understand the language of the mantra, meaning there's no hard and fast rules to chant it. But at the same time, the Acharyas explained that it's beneficial for us to understand what Hare Krishna means. Right? What Hare Krishna means. And I remember when I was still trying to be a devotee, but a young bhakta, and we were chanting our rounds, and the temple commander will come and say, Prabhu, oh, bhakta, such and such, we need to clean the kitchen, or we need to take the rubbish bags out, and we have to do this. And then we will say, no, Prabhu, I'm chanting my rounds. And what is the mantra? Those who have been temple commanders, they know. You know, what do you think when you're chanting your rounds? When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're asking for service. Please, Krishna, give me some service. Somebody comes and says, Prabhu, Omatei, come and do some service. And they say, no, I'm busy chanting my rounds. So it doesn't make sense. So that's the idea when we chant Hare Krishna. We're imploring Krishna to please allow us to serve. That's the idea. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna established why do we have to do this? Why? Right? That's the reason why we perform devotional service. The Bhagavad Gita is the basis of our process, the basis of the Vedas. He explains why we have to do it for Him. Right? Why, first of all, we owe to ourselves. Sometimes we say that the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explains, is from being selfish to selfless, right? But in fact, if we talk about the true self, this is the process for the self, because the self is the soul. So this is what we are meant to do, to serve Krishna. But the reasons why are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains in the middle section of the Gita, His supremacy, right? What does He say in chapter 7? I am the owner of everything. I am the manager of everything. I am the enjoyer of everything. Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adijagya. And He continues explaining why we need to serve Him. Right? What is the process for being reconnected with Him? And this word, Bhaga, this Mahabhaga, great fortune, the most fortunate, in this case, Rohini, mother of Baladev. But all of you have some great fortune, some great reason why to celebrate. Why do we chant Hare Krishna and dance? Why do we chant Hare Krishna? And if you observe the devotees, you know, you can see there's a whole world of introspection going on. Everyone is, you know, smiling and perhaps reflecting why this is happening, why this process of Hare Krishna makes us happy. Srila Prabhupada explains, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is His offer, that is His proposal. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the reason why we are here, after all these years, Bhakta Dion, is he here? Bhakta Dion, he drove us, thank you, from the station. And I asked him, Prabhu, how is living in the manor? I'm very interested. You know, this looks like a real, full-on temple. And he says, yes, very nice. But it has its ups and downs. And that's everywhere. That's, isn't it? Very honest. Good. Right? Sometimes It's incredible. We're dancing, jumping. Janmashtami is coming. Radhastami, Varaham Purnima. And we're in ecstasies. This Maharaj comes and so many things happening. And you're feeling like floating. Literally like floating. No, but nothing matters anymore. But then what happens? The cloud of the mind or the ego comes like a big storm. I mean, here in the UK, in London, you know, your weather, it's not famous for being particularly kind, you know. So one day the sun, or one moment the sun is out, and then all of a sudden it's drizzling, it's cold, it's windy, and gets all like that. So it's easy. Sukhe dukhe samekrita. The cloud of Maya comes, and then you are disturbed because, you know, somebody didn't give you enough maha, or looked at you or in a certain way, or didn't treat you right, etc., etc. So then everything starts changing. Then Krishna doesn't look so pretty anymore. Then Prabhupada doesn't look so bright anymore, because we get covered like that. So all these Vrindavan pastimes, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, are manifested only through the eyes of somebody who has love. Right? And one time I remember I asked Bhurijan Prabhu about this. I said, every time I go to Vrindavan, I feel like an alien. I feel like a illegal immigrant or something. Always kind of, you know, any moment I'm going to get kicked out or I'm going to get in trouble. I feel guilty. And he told me, he said, because you have to enter Vrindavan through the agency of a devotee. You are trying to see Vrindavan with your own eyes, with your own body. That doesn't work. You don't go to Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, with a ticket, with an air ticket, train ticket, or whatever ticket you get. You know, you get a room in the guest house, and, oh, I'm in Vrindavan, and, you know, take the picture and the, you know, recording and all those sort of things. So it's a different, but, you know, here we are struggling, trying to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, to understand what's happening here. Everyone seems to be happy, enjoying the appearance of Krishna. And everyone is so Mahabhaga, Bhagavatam, opulences. Krishna is Sarvaishwarya, Samagrasya. Who is Krishna? The one has all the opulence, all the fortunes. So we can become also very fortunate if we take the principle of Krishna consciousness and we apply it in our lives. But the question, after all this, is just like when Arjuna is explaining the second chapter. Krishna speaks around, I think, 30 verses non-stop about the soul. Right? If you analyze Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining about the soul. That's the main lesson of chapter 2, ABC, of Krishna consciousness. And after hearing all that, and the beauty of the soul, you never disturbed, never caught, burned, died, hurt. Right? So that's wonderful. But then Arjuna asks in the beginning of third chapter, so you're telling me all these wonderful things, but then you ask me to fight in this horrible war. I don't understand. So that's our reality, that we are giving this beautiful process, this wonderful process of chanting Hare Krishna, of Krishna consciousness by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. And then we have to deal sometimes with apparently horrible things, you know. You have to scrub the toilets, and then you have to, you know, deal with people's egos and the mind and my own mind and lusty desires and anger and all these things. Yeah, so this is the process. In this material world, we have to fight. Srila Prabhupada said twice in the Bhagavad, not once, but twice, this is a war against Maya. Right? So that's why I said in the beginning that this place is like a big fort, like in the army, like in the battlefield. You have these places where the soldiers are trained, where the military forces are stationed there to get strength to go out and fight with Maya, with illusory energy. So the idea is that we take shelter of this process. We take shelter of the holy name. We take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada. And then we try to gain spiritual strength and try to go out and help others. That's the ultimate sacrifice, right? Prabhupada says the highest realization is self-realization. In other words, we need to learn how to swim in order to save others who are drowning. Anyone here is an expert swimmer? Anyone? No? Are you? He's pointing at you. Expert swimmer? Yeah? So I've been living in Australia for the last few years. Now I'm in Mayapur, but I spent a lot of time there. So swimming is a big thing. Why? Because it's basically a big island surrounded by ocean. So, you know, every city is basically located on the edge of that big desertic island. And so it's a lot of swimming there. And everywhere you go, all the beaches you go, you have these big signs. Beware. Be careful with the rip and all the instructions and how to get out and how to be safe and all that. So in the same way, this material world, it's very important for us how to apply Krishna consciousness. And that's why Krishna explains about you, about the soul, in the first section of the Gita. Then he explains about himself in the middle section of the Gita. And what's the last section of the Gita all about? How to get out of this material world. That's why the last six chapters are there. Right? So, just like in life swimming, in life saving, rather, the first thing you are taught is to save yourself, right? That's the first thing. So you're drowning, you're struggling, the rip has caught you, right? And now you're in trouble. And then what do you do? You put your hands up. That's what you were taught. So we put both hands up. Haribo, right? That's what we were told. And then Krishna comes. Tisham aham samudartha. Chapter 12 in the Gita. He says, I personally come and rescue you. Have you seen in some of the visions of the Bhagavad Gita, there is this Vishnu coming in Garuda, and one devotee there in the ocean, like that, and Krishna is, right? That's very graphic. So that's for us is a source of happiness. Why are we chanting and dancing? Somebody will come, a journalist or somebody who's doing social studies or psychological studies. They come and see the devotees, you know, early in the morning, it's cold. You know, everyone's trying to be here on time. And then in a few minutes time, everyone is jumping up and down. What is this? What is this phenomena? What's the logic of it? And on top, you're singing the same song that for thousands of years, people, how many years you have in the movement? Some of you, I'm pretty sure, many, many years. It's the same song. And sometimes even the same tune, right? Prabhu was singing the classic ones, you know? The classic tunes, isn't it? Prabhupada's tunes. And people were so, devotees are so happy. Why? Why is this? Because the simple reason. Because Krishna has appeared. Now, we may know a lot of history, or we may or may not a lot of philosophy, but the point is that when Krishna appears in the form of his holy name, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, when he appears in his different manifestations, then something happens, right? Jai. Radha Kulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So that's the reason why we are here. And that's the reason why we hopefully remain here. When we forget why we are here, then that's when the cloud of Maya start covering our consciousness. And then we start finding faults in the movement, in the leaders, in everyone else but us. That's the trick. You become an expert fault finder, right? And why the festival wasn't done on this day like this and like that, and why they didn't put the curtains, and why they didn't change this, and why they. You know? But truly, a devotee who experiences Krishna consciousness is someone who sees the great fortune in others. Everyone is so fortunate. You know, that's the beauty of the Bhagavatam. In fact, you know, 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, the opulences of the Absolute, right? You know the Chaturshloki? You know the four essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita? You know what all those, you know, like Bhagavatam also has Chaturshloki, right? 2.9.33 and 2.36. In the same way, the Bhagavad Gita has four main verses, right? And the title of the chapter, it's Opulences of the Absolute, right? And what Krishna explains there, he explains four verses about mostly his devotees. You know, I dare you, look, go back after the class and have a look, see if it's true. Krishna says, I am the source of everything, right? Everything comes from me. And then he starts this. So it's 3.5 chapters, 75% of his glorification is about the devotees. So that's the process of devotional service, to be appreciative of what the devotees have done. You know, every single temple, yesterday we went to Milton Keynes. Is that how you say it? Milton Keynes? Far away, we were driving and driving that freeway. And then we went there, and I was thinking, where Prabhu has sent us to do this little program? Then we found some Chinese Mati who has been cultivating a number of people. Somebody that was doing service here for many, many years. Says, I came and I did service, but I never chanted. The gentleman was telling us. And now I'm chanting, I don't know, 6-8 rounds. And I'm waking up at 3 in the morning. And then I read Bhagavad Gita. This person is hours or miles away from the temple. You know, so ecstatic. You know, and a number of people there were chanting and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So the more we are close to Krishna, the more we are close to this movement of Srila Prabhupada, the more we need to become appreciative of this process and what the devotees have given us. Just to conclude, I just want to say that once I was in Brazil, and there was one of the Latin American festivals, so all the temples, or the main temples from South America, the leaders were there. And Lokanand Maharaj, I have to give credit to him because I heard it from him. Lokanand Maharaj was giving a class, so I was translating the class for some of the devotees. And he said, I'll never forget this, he said that each one of us, that Krishna chose each one of us to be here. Krishna thought, Krishna thinks. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is what I think. Mama Amatar. This is my opinion. This is my thinking. So Krishna thinks. He's a person, right? Yeah? So he thought, I want this boy, this girl in this movement. I want them. You know? And he engaged so many devotees to have each one of us here. Just think about that. I was shocked when I heard that explanation. Each one of us. He sent Srila Prabhupada originally, but even before that, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he gave his teachings, his message to the Goswamis, and he liberally distributed Krishna consciousness in India, travel by foot all over, right? And then many of his associates came after him also and spread this idea, Lord Nityananda and others, the Panchatattva, expanded, opened this warehouse of love of Godhead. And then he engaged many, 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 many people until Prabhupada took that from India and he came to the West. Right? And then Srila Prabhupada engaged so many devotees to have this temple. You know the story, the Lilamrita, and so many biographies are coming up now. How he secured this place. How he sent 3 Grihastha couples. And then how he worked so hard to produce these books, right? And engage everyone to establish Krishna consciousness. I heard that also the manor went through some difficulties with the government and all that sort of things. And still Krishna came, kept sending people so we can be here. Krishna forbid, imagine if this place at some point wasn't open for public usage, right? That's my understanding. But the devotees fought and kept on. So we're here comfortably now. So we need to be so happy and so appreciative of all what the devotees have done. So that's the principle of Krishna consciousness. We, with all the humility, Prabhupada, there's one chapter in the Science of Self-Realization, all the humility at my command, I believe is part of his Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. With all the humility at our command, we should thank Srila Prabhupada, we should thank the devotees, Srila Prabhupada's disciples that have worked so hard, the devotees of today who are doing so much service. This is the principle. One time Srila Prabhupada was chanting his japa on the rooftop of Mayapur, and the devotees came, right? The GBC sometimes will come and present some things to him, some resolutions or some dilemmas. And Srila Prabhupada was chanting, and then when he saw the devotees, this is in Harisori Prabhu's Transcendental Diary, when he saw the devotees, what Srila Prabhupada did, he bowed down. Right? So one of the leading disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, don't, please, you know, why are you doing this? And what Prabhupada said, because I see the mercy of my spiritual master through you. That's Prabhupada's vision. And so, not so many times, but at least a few times that were recorded, Srila Prabhupada would choke up in Atlanta, in Lahore, I think, in Lucknow, right, in the north of India, chanting Jayarada Madhava or glorifying Gornitai. He will choke up, and or his Vyasa Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta, he will choke up, thanking the devotees, appreciating what the devotees have done to help him to please his spiritual master. So that's the principle. And that's the reason why we celebrate, and that's the reason why we chant Hare Krishna. And as I said, each devotee, it's a world. It's like a mini version of Bhagavatam going on there, because everyone is happy and appreciative. Generally, we're morose and we're, you know, dragging ourselves. But when the devotees start chanting, then everything changes. It's like the clouds open and the sun comes up, isn't it? Have you noticed? Now, I've been a few weeks in London, and, you know, it's cold and a little like that. But when the sun comes up, I feel like, oh, nice, it's so nice. So that's what it is. And when you see the dark clouds of ego or the mind, just chant Hare Krishna, chant loudly, you know, come and take part of the kirtan, put some bhajans or kirtans like that, class, and then lighten up your life again. That's the process. So here Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam, glorifies Rohini for being greatly fortunate. So it is our duty to continue in that path and glorify those devotees who have the opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna, to serve Krishna Balaram, to serve Gaur Nitai, and be thankful. Be thankful. And just like, is it Rupa or Sanatan, that approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he was approaching him, he put a stick in his mouth. Who was Rupa Goswami, right? Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami. I remembered I was in Bangkok many years back and trying to do some preaching there, and I had to learn Thai. And one of the exercises for you to learn Thai is that you put a pencil in your mouth, because it's so complicated, so your tongue has to curve and curl in different ways. So I always remember that pastime. You know, yeah, that we need to humble down. Basically, what it means is that you have nothing to say. Right? So I feel very embarrassed having to sit here and talk, but it's a service. But we have nothing to say, but we need to hear Arna Kori Homane Asha. I wish that my consciousness be purified by the words emanating by his lotus mouth. So our purpose is to serve Srila Prabhupada, take this message, and not only enjoy ourselves and celebrate that Krishna has appeared in our lives, but bring others to the party. And that's why I was observing and mentioning how Ratha Yatra is so blissful, because we see so many people coming. Yeah. So as Prahlad Maharaj explains, that we shouldn't be misers, right? And we should go out and try to bring people, you know, not just enjoy our, you know, fortunate situation of being here. Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan, but he didn't. He took trouble in 2 heart attacks, 1 stroke, and he did it. He did it for you, for each one of us, like Lokanath Maharaj was explaining. Each one of us, you know. So many people are touched now, Chinese, South Americans, Africans. In Mayapur, you see groups of devotees from all over the world coming to celebrate Krishna consciousness in their lives and fired up to go back and distribute it to everybody. So in this holy place of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, it's very auspicious what's going on here. So much preaching. Practically every night we go and visit different homes and bhakti rikshas and different programs. And it's so wonderful to see how pleased would Srila Prabhupada be. In the last Navadvip Mahamandal Parikram, not this one, sorry, last year, 2015, I remember was a record attendance of around 10,000 devotees. And I think Prananda Maharaj was giving one of the presentations, and then he said, we're in trouble now, because the temple of Vedic Planetarium, it's meant to house 10,000 devotees. Now, it's already small, by Prabhupada's mercy. It's already small, so what are we going to do? So much effort to finish the temple. And now, look, 10,000 people. So he said, the demigods, I'm sure, will be showering blessings, virtual flowers upon you. Srila Prabhupada must be smiling because of the effort that you have put into this service. The same way, it's such a pleasure to be here and know that this place housed so many pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, and still Srila Prabhupada's pastimes keep manifesting by each devotee, each person, each guest that come to this place and participates in the appearance of Krishna every day. Thank you very much.